The rest of us, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be up here on the screen. But if you got a copy of God's Word in your hand or you got a phone or something, go ahead and look that up. Because we're going to walk through that whole chapter this morning. We've been talking about serving and the different ways that we serve. We know it's important to serve. We've learned that, okay? We've learned that part. We know it's important to serve. We know that when we serve, we ought to serve humbly. We ought to have a humble spirit about us when we serve. We also know that humble service often goes against what the world would tell us to do or how the world would tell us to serve. The world would tell you to serve and say, make it about you. Promote yourself. Make yourself look good. That's what the world would say a lot of times. But we know that much about service so far, but there's something we haven't talked about yet. We sang about it already this morning, but we've not really talked about this when it comes to service. There's one thing required when you serve others as a follower of Jesus. Now, if you don't serve as a follower of Jesus, it might not make any difference to you. Might not make any difference. But if you're going to serve people as a Christian, as somebody who says they follow Jesus, then there's one thing that's required. And that's love. We're saying about it all morning. We're saying about love all morning. And that's what's required out of us if we're going to serve others as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We must serve out of love. Now, you say, well, Justin, I thought we had to serve with humility. You do. But humility falls under that umbrella of love. We're going to show you that this morning a little bit. It's all about love when we serve. Love is the baseline of service. Love is the core of our service. How you serve won't always show your love for people. Now, you can fool people for a little bit, but eventually how you serve is not always going to show how you love people. But how you love people or how you love in general will always show up in how you serve. Always it'll show up. So if your love is low for people, it's going to show up eventually in how you serve people. If you have a great love for people, that's going to show in how you serve others. So we want to look real quickly this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is called the love chapter. So it's a good place to look if we're going to look at how we ought to love whenever we serve. It's a perfect place to look. Most of the time, you'll use these verses, though, and you'll talk about how to love within a family situation or how to love your friends or how to love your spouse, right? But we're going to use it this morning to talk about how we ought to love when we're serving. Why is it important to love while we serve? Why is love important? Well, the first thing I think I see is this. It's important, and we've already kind of said it, but love is a necessity for serving. It's a necessity. Look in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 13. Paul says this, "If I speak human or angelic tongues, but I do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so I can move mountains, but I do not love, I'm nothing. And if I give away my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." So simply put, without love, you have absolutely nothing this morning. You are bankrupt without love. And even especially, I would say, not even, but especially in the area of serving one another. You can serve all you want, but if you don't have love, it doesn't matter. You want me to prove that to you? Let me give you some examples to show how that's true. Men, go buy your wife flowers, all right? Maybe you've done something bad. Maybe you've made her mad. Maybe you didn't take the trash out like you're supposed to, or maybe you didn't help with the kids, or whatever. She's angry at you, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to put an end to this. I'm going to buy her flowers. So that seems good, right? You're going to serve your wife. You're going to buy her flowers. Don't look at me like that, Leroy. You're going to serve your wife. You're going to buy her flowers, and then you show up, and you have them in your hand, and you walk past the kitchen table, and you throw them on the table and go, there, those are for you, and you keep on walking. Is that going to help the situation? No. But you say, but I served my wife well. I went and got her flowers. I thought about her. Yeah, you thought, but you didn't think to love her also. So without love, that serving meant nothing, didn't it? What if somebody comes up to you? Maybe you're in a big city. Maybe you're not. I've done it in small cities. Somebody comes up to you and they say, man, I wish really need something to eat. Can you get me anything to eat? And you go, you know what? I will get you something to eat. And you say, come with me. Follow me. And you go, maybe you're in a McDonald's. You walk to McDonald's and you say, this lousy, no good sucker needs something to eat. Would you just get him a number two or whatever's cheapest up there? Just get him whatever's cheapest. And you say, you want fries, right? Yeah, just get the value meal. That's fine. Get him fries. He wants fries on top of it. Evidently, it's not good enough. So just get him that. And he says, well, can I have a large drink? A large drink? What am I trying to do? I didn't raise you to feed, get you to raise you. I mean, here, I'm just trying to get you food. Yeah, get him a large drink. That's fine. Now, you served that man or that lady, right? You served him. But was there any love in that? Absolutely not. So your serving them might have filled their belly, but did it give you a chance to show them Jesus? No, it did not give you a chance to show them Jesus. If you showed them anything, you showed them your rear end is what you showed them. So without love, there's nothing. There's nothing. If I see something in the church, if the Lord shows me something and says, listen, Justin, this is something you need to preach on. This is something we're struggling with at Cadiz Baptist, or maybe at the church in general. This is something we've struggled with. And I find truth in Scripture, and it's truth. And it's in Scripture, and there's no denying it. And I get up here, and I teach it. And I teach it in the best way. I mean, everybody understands it. But I get up here and scream and holler, and I'm angry, and you can tell I'm angry. I served y'all as your pastor. I did what God told me to do, but I did it with anger. And there's no love in that. Would that have gotten anywhere? No, you're leaving here going, that guy was angry. That little bald-headed guy was mad this morning. What was wrong with him? You forget everything that God was trying to show you in Scripture because I didn't serve you with love. That's why it's important that we love, because love is a necessity when we serve. The second thing we know about love, why it's important, is that love is seen in how we serve. Look in verses 4 through 7. These are the verses read at weddings, all right? You'll recognize this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. Does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love is seen in how we serve. There are obvious characteristics to love. You see them right there. It's patience, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast. There's obvious characteristics when you love. And when you serve others, guess what? Same thing holds true. There's obvious characteristics when you serve out of love, people will see those things. Getting angry because you've got to buy a guy McDonald's is not going to show him the obvious characteristics of love. It's going to show him the opposite of that. Walking through the kitchen and throwing down flowers on the counter, it's not going to show your spouse obvious characteristics of love. There's obvious characteristics. Think about this. There's obvious characteristics to love, just like there's obvious characteristics to a Hallmark movie, especially a Christmas one, right? You've seen them. It's all the same. There's a small town that's gotten into some trouble of some kind. This big city guy who grew up in the town comes back. Maybe he's coming to settle in a state, or he's coming back to visit his family. He meets this girl who's trying to save things and turns them around. They fall in love. He tries to leave, but he comes back at the end to save the town and unite with the girl. Seems like they're always on a Christmas tree farm or a school play or it's like a tree lighting committee they have to figure out, or it's a reindeer petting zoo. I don't know. I don't watch the things, but the ones I've heard, that's what it seems like. Chrissy, am I right? Is that about right? That nails it, see? Or a pumpkin patch, maybe, in Vermont. We found one of those up there that they thought were going to, Lindsay and Chrissy thought they were going to turn it into a Hallmark movie. But they did that because those are obvious characteristics, right? They saw that pumpkin patch. They saw a good-looking young guy riding a side-by-side around, and they were like, hey, got our Hallmark movie right here. Why would they say that? Why would they say that? Because it's obvious. Hallmark has a formula that they go by when they make these Christmas movies. Jesus has a formula that we go by when we love people. It's the same way. It's obvious. Now, it's not really hard. It's obvious to figure out what we should do when we want to serve or respond in love. It's obvious, but it's not always easy. It's obvious to know that we ought to be patient and kind and not envy and not boastful, not arrogant, not rude, not seeking our own way. All those things, it's obvious we ought to do that. But it's not so simple whenever we try to do it. But so you won't think that this is the only place in Scripture that talks about how we ought to love in all these ways, especially when we serve others. Let me walk through some other ones for you. Galatians 5:13 says this. Paul says, you were called to be free. You know what that means? It means you're called to, you can do whatever you want. You have a freedom about you. But only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. You know what that's an example of? That's an example of serving with patience, because you don't always want to be patient when God calls you to serve, but when you love people, you're patient. You don't always want to be kind when God calls you to serve in some way, but whenever you have that freedom not to be kind, but you choose to follow Jesus, guess what? When you serve in love, you're kind. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. We read this verse last week. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not to his own interest, but rather to the interest of others. That shows us that there's humility when we serve. That shows us that we ought to avoid envy and boasting and rudeness when we serve. We don't do things out of selfish ambition. We don't do things for our own interest. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. We heard this in the last couple of weeks. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's serving with a selfless heart. That's not be. You can't be rude and serve with a selfless heart. You can't be self-seeking and serve with a selfless heart. So we're really going down through the list in 1 Corinthians 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ, just as God also forgave you in Christ. That tells us that we ought not be angry when we show love. It tells us we ought to forgive others. You know, the easiest way to serve somebody is to forgive them. And you know, on top of that, the easiest way to begin serving somebody is to forgive them first. Because it's really hard to love somebody if you've not forgiven them first. The easiest way to serve them is just go ahead and forgive them. You've served them in that way. Now that you've forgiven, now you can love them as you serve them. And they might not be the best people, and they might not treat you the best. But you forgive them, and now there's an opportunity to serve. And listen, we've talked about this. Every opportunity to serve is an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. We don't serve for any other reason other than to show somebody Jesus. You know why you serve your spouse? To show them Jesus. Well, my spouse already knows Jesus. But they ought to see it from you too. Lindsay loves Jesus more than anybody I know. But she ought to see Jesus whenever I do something too. And your spouse might be the same. Your family, your church, your community, whether they know Jesus or not, the reason you're serving and the reason love is so important is because we're trying to show people Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, here it is again. Put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Boy, he wants us to be patient. bearing with one another, and forgiving. He wants us to forgive too. Forgiving one another if anybody has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has also forgiven you, you should also forgive. Above all, what? Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That tells us we ought to rejoice with each other, and we ought to bear with one another, just like 1 Corinthians reminds us. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Take the lead, outdo one another in showing love. It tells us that we ought to believe in not only one another, but we ought to believe in what God's trying to do through us serving in love and hope and enduring and all those things that it talks about in verse 7. Whenever we love and whenever we serve, love is seen through that service. And then the last reason I think that love is important in service is because love is the greatest, absolute greatest thing we have. It's the greatest thing we have. It's what Ted Mosby says at the end of How I Met Your Mother. Anybody ever watch that show? He says love is the greatest thing we have. Now, he's not talking about godly love, but I'm talking about godly love. Godly love in the hands of a Christian, in the heart of a Christian, is the greatest thing this world has. Absolutely greatest. Look in verses 8 through 13. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. He's saying everything's incomplete except the love that we have for Christ. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why is the love greatest of things? Why is love so great? Why is love the best thing we have, even when we're serving? Well, verse 8 tells us the first thing, because love never ends. You know what that means? Think about this. If we love people with the love of Jesus, if love never ends, then I don't think this is much of a stretch to say that love draws people to eternity. Love draws people to the thought of eternity. And if it draws people to eternity, it draws people to Jesus. Our words don't draw people to eternity. Our actions don't draw people. Our feelings don't draw people to eternity. Your Facebook post won't draw people to eternity. Our church building doesn't draw people to eternity. Our outreach attempts don't do it. If it's not coupled with love, if it's not paired with love, none of that stuff draws people to eternity or draws people to Jesus. None of it. Without love, we're bankrupt. We don't have it. We don't have what it takes without love. Verse 11 tells us that love shows, not only love never ends, but love shows maturity. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. And now I put aside childish things. That's a mark of maturity that's happened. Maturity has come up. You've matured a little bit. Teenagers, you weren't the same in school this year as you were last year, hopefully. Maybe you've matured a little bit. Maybe you're on a team and maybe you've matured a little bit. Maybe you're in a club and you've matured a little bit. Maybe in the classroom you've matured a little bit. Adults, maybe we've matured a little bit. And it's okay to mature physically, but we've also got to mature spiritually, and at the very basis of it, we have to mature in the way that we love. Verses 4 through 7 are full of things that show our spiritual maturity or your lack of spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is shown through the fruits, the spiritual fruits that come out of our life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. For the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He says there's nothing that the law can do about that stuff. Why? Because when you're spiritually mature and you're acting like that, there's no law that's going to hold you down. Nothing can do, it can't do anything to you. The law's not there for people that live like that. Now, we won't always live like that. That's why we need the law. We need the law to remind us that we're not perfect. We need the law to remind us that we're not spiritually mature yet. But we can continue to grow. We can continue to get there. When we mature, we're going to love, especially while we're serving. It's what makes love great, that we can grow in our spiritual maturity. Love helps us do that. And then lastly, just like we started it, verse 13. Now the three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Without love, you have nothing. You get faith, but you don't have love, it's no good. You have hope, but you don't have love, that's just called wishful thinking. That's what hope without love is, wishful thinking. We must learn to love, and that means learning to love from the one who loved us so much that he gave his life for us. That means learning to love from Jesus himself. That means learning to love from what Scripture tells us. That means learning to love from watching other Christians who've gotten it right, who've got it figured out a little bit better than us. We got to love and learn to love better day by day. Jesus was the best example of serving. We've said that, but the reason he was the best example of serving is because he was the best at loving. Better than anybody else, he was the best at loving. So who do you need this morning? Do you need Jesus in your life to help you as you learn to love so that you can serve in the right way? Do you need Jesus in your life? If you've never accepted Jesus today, if you've ever given your life to him, guess what you need to do this morning? You need to just turn your life over to Jesus. Just give your life over to Jesus. Trust him to save you. Trust him to forgive you. Trust him to teach you how to love and how to serve well. Maybe you do have Jesus in your life, but there's just not a lot of love that comes out when you serve or through your lack of serving. Maybe there's just not a lot of love that comes out in that. Do you know that when we serve out of love, we don't always serve out of want? Do you know that? I hate to burst your bubble, but just because we serve doesn't mean we always think that that's where we need to serve. Sometimes we just do things because we love, because we have a love about us, a love in our heart for the Lord, and we see a need and we're like, you know what, that's not really my wheelhouse, but I'm going to do that because I love Jesus. That's what serving out of love is. It's not serving out of want. It's serving out of love. I got love for Jesus, so I'm going to do this. I got love for Jesus, so I'm going to pack some shoeboxes. I'm not really a people person. I don't like being around a whole bunch of people, but I know that's going to show love to some kids, so I'm going to help pack some shoeboxes. I'm not really the physical labor type of person, but here we are picking up tables. Maybe that's the way I need to serve. You know what? I don't really like kids, but maybe they need some help in children's church, and if somebody will help me, I can sit in there, or the nursery, or Wednesday night nursery, whatever it might be. That's not really my wheelhouse, but maybe if somebody would help me, maybe I could do that. If there's a need, hey, they need soup Wednesday night. I'm not really the cook type, but my neighbor is. Maybe I could get them to cook for me. Maybe I can go to Mallory's and pick up some soup in a can and put it in a pot and we can warm it up. Maybe that's what I can do. If you don't know how to warm it up, bring it. We'll warm it up for you. But that's what love in serving looks like. It doesn't look like, hey, this is what God's called me to do, so I'm going to serve only in this area. No, God's called you to love first. Loving first means you serve where there's a need. You serve where there's an opportunity to serve. That's serving out of love. So do you need to fix that in your heart this morning? Probably most of us do in some way. Probably most of us have that in our heart where we think, you don't think you're too good for something. You just say, well, that's just not me. I'm just not going to do it. But God's put the opportunity out there. So for you to love, you just need to serve. What's he doing? What's he doing in your heart this morning? How's he trying to impact you this morning? How's he trying to change your heart this morning? How's he trying to make you love a little bit more this morning? Only you know that. You and him know that together. Listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. And again, if you don't know Jesus, you can serve people, you can be nice, you can do good things for people, but if you've never given your life to Jesus, you can never fully serve in the way you're intended to serve. Never. It's never going to happen. Without love, you have nothing. And Jesus is love, so you need Jesus first. If you need Jesus, I'll be down here. You come down here and talk to me about it. When this music plays, I'll show you in the Bible what it means to be saved. We'll sit down here on the front pew and we'll talk about it. If you want to come up after the service, you come up afterwards and we'll talk about it. Whatever it is. I just want you to know Jesus this morning. I don't want you to wait another second before you know Him. Let's pray. God, again, we've come to You this morning grateful for all You're doing in our hearts. Lord, I'm grateful for the challenge You've put in my heart this morning to serve You better, not just to serve, but to serve out of love, which means I have to, if I say I love You, I've got to serve in the ways that You put in front of me. Serve the people that You've put in front of me. Serve the circumstances that You've put in front of me. Because Jesus, by doing that and doing it out of a love for You, I'm showing that love I have for You, Jesus. And maybe by serving and showing the love that I have for You, maybe I'll have a chance to tell somebody about You, Jesus. Help that be the reason that we serve. Help that be the reason that we give of ourselves so that we have a chance to tell somebody about You. Jesus, be with us as we sing this closing song. Lord, if You are moving in somebody's heart, I pray that they would get things straight with You before they leave here this morning. Lord, if somebody needs to be saved, if they need to be forgiven, if they've got questions about that, Lord, I pray they wouldn't wait another second but to come down here and see what it's all about to follow You, Jesus. If we're a Christian, Jesus, and we've got some things messed up and some ideas about love and service messed up, Lord, I pray we'd get that right this morning. That You would impact our hearts in that too. Lord, thank You for speaking to me this morning. Pray that You have done that for all of us. Move in our hearts now, we ask it in Your name. Amen.